All right, brothers and sisters, let's get into 1 Corinthians, back in the 12th chapter. And tonight, we're going to revisit even, I believe, a greater meaning and a greater call that the Lord is putting on our hearts and lives at this time for the oneness that we have in Christ. And I think God has really been bringing a lot of things in my life, and I know in this meeting, especially with all the different phone calls, and it's been counseling galore, and I mean that in a good way. But God is bringing a lot of things to the surface. And I think in His Word, it's always going to find out what's there. It's always going to cut down to the intent of the heart. It just is. And as God, I believe, too, allows that wonderful presence of His Son to continue to grow in our life, it pushes those things out to the surface. And that's so wonderful to know as well, too. So be encouraged as God continues to correct and chasten, because it's all in His love. But tonight, Lord willing, we're going to rejoice in that moment, by the grace of God, when all believers were baptized, when all believers were baptized into one body in Christ. And it is, brothers and sisters, a significant reality that I believe that needs to be treasured and applied in our lives, because I do believe that that truly, that oneness is a theme, and it's a wonderful trait of knowing. You're one in Christ no matter if you're a child of God, don't get me wrong. But understanding that oneness and entering into that oneness with Him and His body and appreciating and being thankful, that's the brotherly love. And that is a requirement, and it is a wonderful trait of that bridal saint. So let's go ahead and start reading from the 12th verse of the 12th chapter. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, do you even wonder what he's trying to say here? I think I see the word one, one, and one. We're one in Christ. Praise God, we are one body. There is no division. There are no divisions in Christ Jesus. And again, and that so also is Christ. I'd like you to turn with me over to Romans chapter 12. Verses 4 and 5. And that's Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. It says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now see, a lot of people quit reading after they say one body, in, we are one body in Christ. But look at what it says there, and every one members one of another. We're connected in and through Christ. Absolutely. And that's eternal. And again, yet our nature is to fight that. And I want you to know too, that's just the enemy that wants to really get in there and divide and conquer. And that's really, again, his action and his plan, especially within a meeting like this. Oh, brother so-and-so, they looked at me wrong that day. Or they actually did say something that hurt my feelings. Now, I would hope that we are mindful one of another. We are a body, and you think of your own body. And I really want us to enter into that today, because this is what God has told us. If I've got an infection anywhere on my body, am I going to take less care of an infection on my toe than my knee, than my elbow, than my finger, than my nose? I would hope not. It's an infection. It needs to be addressed. I need to take care of this body. This body is in a wonderful harmony. I think about how precious it is that, again, you see people that are afflicted for some reason. They have issues in their body. And I thank God that I have control of these fingers, and I can move them like I want. I can run. I can still exercise with my kids. I can do all of those things. That is a wonderful, wonderful blessing to have. How much more the body of Christ? How much more? And He's placed us there, and He's put us there. And you're there. But I'm telling you, we need to appreciate and be thankful. And be thankful. One for another. And for every bit and part of that body. Been really studying about that, brothers and sisters. We can easily be so thankful for a certain saint. But for another one, we're not. I want to see you by the grace of God as Christ sees you. He looks for the goodness. He looks for that love. Now, obviously, it's more evident in some lives than it is others. But again, this life is Christ-like. This is Christ living in me. And when he was upon that cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's the same love by the grace of God that he can put in your life. And it truly is. Nothing short of the same love. So think about those things as we study this evening, and especially in this oneness that we have in him. Now in 1 Corinthians 6:17, it was a personal oneness with Christ there. We became one with Christ as we accepted him, and as we go on with him, that oneness is continued on in our life. But now by the grace of God tonight, we're going to talk about the church, or the actual body of Christ, becoming one and at that moment. So let's go on at verse 13. It says, for by one Spirit are, and that word should be were, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. Now, it's obvious that Brother Paul is speaking of Christians here. So we were all baptized into one body in Christ. Now, I want to spend some time here because God truly has expressed on me that we need a clarity. I needed a clarity truly in my life of this wonderful truth. So often we hear of people just saying, well, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And we understand in a sense as Christians, well, what could that mean? But probably that person just means the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They're two different things. It's very important to understand that they're two different things. And by the grace of God tonight, we're going to get into this verse and some others as well too. And we'll see how far time allows us to get into this. But it is so true that we need to understand the difference of the baptism in the Spirit as opposed to the anointing with the Spirit. The baptism in the Spirit is this body that we're going to speak about tonight. And that was the outward baptism as a whole when Christ wonderfully went to be with his Father and sent and poured out the Holy Spirit upon this wonderful earth as far as the ones that would receive him as well. But this is versus the inward dwelling or the anointing with the Spirit. Praise God. Now, this first part of this verse here that I want to look at is the one baptism. It's the one baptism that's mentioned in Ephesians 4:4. So let's go over there and let's read about this real quick. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is just one. And we're going to read tonight how they were saying, well, we were baptized with the baptism of John. But then obviously Paul will read that in Acts 19 here in a moment. Shows them the real baptism, the baptism that took place and took over all the other baptisms, if you want to think of it that way. And this was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God, when that oneness with Christ occurred with his wonderful church. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So the whole church was baptized with fire at one time to Christ. And that was on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down. You'll read about that as well in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And again, I want to state that it never again is put that way, because that was for that moment. That baptism happened at that moment. That baptism with fire happened at that moment. That sound of rushing mighty wind and the fire happened at that moment. John the Baptist talks about this in Matthew 3:11 and Luke 3:16. He said that Jesus, that was Matthew 3:11 and Luke 3:16, and I kind of want to move through this a little bit. You can look that up. But it says there that Jesus would baptize in the Holy Spirit with fire. And that is just what occurred on the day of Pentecost. And we read about this in 1 Corinthians 10:17. If you recall, in 1 Corinthians 10:17, it says, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And brothers and sisters, this is why it's stating here in this 13th verse that whether they be Jew or Gentile, whether they be bond or free, when we have accepted Christ as Savior, we have become one in this body. And this oneness is a very important thing. So again, this is the oneness of the Holy Spirit baptism or the Holy Ghost. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. That's Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. And it says there, "For John," and this is John the Baptist, "truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So he's calling this a baptism. Okay, so again, John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And this baptism, praise God, many think that this baptism is the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but it's not. This baptism is, again, the one that's shown in Ephesians chapter 4, 4 and 5, where the church is baptized as a whole. And we only read of this baptism in the Holy Spirit only at the day of Pentecost. And here's what's a very important thing to note. From then on, after the day of Pentecost, and it calls that the baptism at that time, showing that that's a separate entity from the infilling of the Holy Spirit. When anybody else is filled, in a sense, with the Holy Spirit from then on, they receive the Holy Spirit. They're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you'll also know at that time as well, too, the ones that receive the Holy Spirit, where it talks about how they receive the Holy Spirit, comes into their life, the evidence of speaking in tongues, they're all believers. They've all believed and then received the Holy Spirit, as we'll continue on here this evening. So again, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is referred to as receiving. It's an individual thing. It's a personal thing when we receive the Holy Ghost and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the speaking in tongues. Let's go over to Acts chapter 19. And we'll start reading from the second verse. And I think this, by the grace of God, will make this extremely clear and maybe even clear up some of this 19th chapter of Acts. We'll read from the second verse. "He said unto them," and this is our sweet brother here, Paul, "have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to stop there for a moment. There'll be a lot of scholars that try to change these words around as well, too. They try to say, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost when ye believed?" That's not the case. The word here is since. Brother Paul is acknowledging that they have believed in the Lord. He wouldn't just assume anything. He was a wonderful, wonderful brother and wonderful, wonderful person that was in tune with the things of God. And he knew that these brothers here had received Christ as Savior. But he's asking them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" Knowing that it was a separate thing. But here's what they, and he said unto them, and they said unto him, here's how they respond, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Well, Brother Paul says, and he said unto them, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." We'll talk about that here in a moment. Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him," that is, on Christ Jesus. "Then when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." And then, when Paul had his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now there's three wonderful, very important things that you'll see in this scripture that so apply and again just give added proof to what this 13th verse is talking about. John's baptism that he talks to them about is the baptism of repentance only. Now you're thinking, well, what is this repentance thing? Well, if you talk to most Christians today, and I'm telling you, most Christians today, it's all about repent, repent, repent. This is what Brother Paul was trying to bring to them. You need to get beyond that repentance. You need to have a repentant heart. Don't get me wrong. We always need to be softened to the Lord. But let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ said it was finished, it was finished. It's over. Praise God. He removed my sin as far as the east is from the west. He put those sins in the sea of forgetfulness. He has forgotten about them. Praise God. I am holy. I am righteous. Because of my Lord. Those sins are never to be remembered again. But again, this is what this John's baptism was to repentance. It was the acknowledgement of the blood, and yes, the personal reception of Jesus Christ as Savior, but it didn't go any further than that. That is why there was a reason for these brothers to be baptized again, if you think about this. This is why they were baptized in this name of Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And here's the reason why. Is they were saved. We understand that. They said that they believed. He calls them disciples. But they had not been preached beyond the death. They had not been preached beyond the one that would come. Paul brought to them, not only did this Savior you were thinking of has come, this Jesus has come, has died for you, but you are risen together with Him. And not only are you risen together with Him, you're seated in the heavens in Christ with Him right now. Now are we the sons of God. This is what this wonderful, wonderful oneness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost was bringing to these folks. This is what it brought to us. Brothers and sisters, it's not about what words were said at your baptism. That's not it. It's what you interpreted at your baptism. That's what it's getting at. And these brothers that were at this place that said, well, we had John's baptism of repentance. They did not understand. They didn't fully understand what Christ Jesus had done in His ascension. Praise God that He had risen and went to the right hand of the Father, and the pouring out of the Holy Ghost, which Joel had talked about, it had come. It was there. Praise the Lord. This oneness that we have in Christ, we can never be separated from that ever, ever, ever. Praise God. And that is the oneness that John was bringing in. And it was so wonderful, too, that this day of Pentecost, the baptism brought that wonderful knowledge that they were seated together with Him in the heavens in Christ. This was the complete oneness of Christ, bringing us all the provisions of redemption. And with that, now we can be ready to receive a personal reception of the Holy Spirit. And that brings us now to the last verse here, this sixth verse, which says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And praise God. This is what brings us back to the second part, if you will, of the 13th verse. So let's keep reading from the 13th verse where we were in. Now we've went through, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, now, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That word made there means given. It also means offered to drink into one Spirit. This is the drinking that is evident here in verse 6. These brothers not only were baptized with the Holy Ghost, they also accepted the personal indwelling, praise the Lord, of the Holy Ghost, which is evidenced by the speaking in tongues. Isn't that wonderful? See, each believer in this church age, because God is no respecter of persons, just as those brothers and sisters at the day of Pentecost, they were given the privilege to drink, the privilege to be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, God has given that to us. That was that wonderful, you know, I have many things to say unto you now, but until He, the Comforter, is come, until He, the Spirit of Truth, is come, you can't bear these things that I want to tell you. You have to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that personal infilling that will bring all truth to your life, that'll bring an appreciation of this oneness that we have in Christ, even to a whole new level. All of the benefit, all of the power, all of the truth, now I have the ability to possess in my life. I was reading about Brother Copley and as he said about this, he called it pudding, spiritual pudding. And he says, you know, I'm so thankful, I'm still feasting on that pudding, and the wonderful new languages have never stopped from coming forth from my lips. You don't think that he was about, as Brother Paul was, as he said, I'm so thankful I speak more than ye all. That wonderful infilling, that wonderful thrilling of the Holy Ghost incorporating our life. And again, that personal relationship and speech that we can have with the Lord, the tongue of men and angels. So again, Look at that verse as we close here. Have ye received, since ye believed, two distinct and separate spiritual moments in a life? You're one with Christ. We have been baptized. Every single believer has been baptized with the Holy Ghost. But not every single believer has been filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So I hope that makes that a little bit more clear to you. I hope you can rejoice in that oneness. I hope now that by the grace of God we'll just settle into that oneness. And then I'll tell you, if we're not filled here this evening, we need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And tonight's a great night to do it. Praise the Lord. Just receive Him. Brothers and sisters, it's just submitting. It's a very difficult thing, but it is just submitting to the Lord. I was visiting with a dear brother and sister at lunch today, and one of the comments was, you know, it seems like women have a little bit more easy time submitting themselves to the Lord, or, you know, allowing the Lord to work in their life. And I said, well, you know, that's true. I believe that. I think that maybe there's a spirit in a woman that possibly is a little bit more meek than a man. It's more socially acceptable for a woman to get a little bit more free or intimate with the Lord. But I said, you know, the way that I see that, though, it's service. I think that there are women, absolutely, will yield to that service. But we all got to become a Mary by the grace of God. And I think it's just as hard for anyone to just sit at His feet and submit. So, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, nobody's got a leg up on anybody. It's still got to be God. And we still got to submit. And I'm telling you, don't raise your hands here, but if anybody says, well, it's easier for me than somebody else, you're sadly mistaken. Let me just tell you, His yoke is easy. Praise God. His burden is light. But you know what? We do have to, in a sense, just get in that spirit and allow it to work in us. So, praise the Lord. All right, going on. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Let's turn over to Ephesians 4, and this will speak a little bit about this wonderful body that we have one of another, and that's Ephesians 4, verses 12 through 16. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the spiritual growth of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. That means fully grown, mature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what you're called to. Is that wonderful? Grow up. He wants a fully matured bride. The fullness. The fullness. Look at what it says there. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. See, we need to rightfully divide this word. That's why it's so important what we just went over. Allow the Lord to give you a grasp of that. We can just pass over it, but see, what happens is the enemy will allow men and women to distort those scriptures that we just had. And if you distort it enough, you can come out with, well, you know what? You were saved at the time you received, or you saved and received the Holy Spirit at the same time. It can happen, but what they're saying there is that it's one same experience, and it's not. It's very clear throughout the Word of God. But there are passages that I believe is true. As Brother Peter said, some things are hard to be understood. For them that are unstable, that don't know the Scriptures, that don't rightfully divide the truth. Well, sure, I sat in living waters for 30 years. But you know what? Know your Bible. It's precious to know the truth. Amen. And that's a wonderful thing, truth and love. But know your Bible. Know how to stand in defense of it. By the grace of God, wield that sword. Don't cut yourself. Let the Lord use it out there. Okay. So, as we're going through here, that ye henceforth, in the 14th verse of the 4th chapter, be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. See, that's what's going to grow you up. The truth in love. Not flattery, not some of the truth, not man's philosophy, not just staunch self-righteousness that leaves the love. It's truth in love. Love of the truth may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, here we go, the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted, we're tightly joined by that which is every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying or the spiritual growth of itself in love. You're important. I'm important to this body. We are vital to it. Praise God. This pinky is vital to it. The arm, the leg, the knee, all of the parts of this body are vital to this body. It wouldn't be complete without every part. You know how odd it is to see people. I was thinking, there's a poor man. I don't know if he was a veteran or whatever, but there he was and doing so well. But he was missing a leg. It wasn't complete. There was something missing. Appreciate your body. You wouldn't be the same without brother so-and-so or sister who and that. You wouldn't. Everybody's getting quiet. Okay, we'll move on. I'll let God deal with that. All right, 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? See, you can see where we start to feel sorry for ourselves. You hear the body talking to the body. Just put that in there. Here we go. We had the foot saying to the hand, oh, I'm not really part of this body because you're doing so much more than I do when I sit on the couch. It doesn't make sense, does it? But that's how silly it is when we think of that with one another. Read what it says. It's precious. And then we could covet. You could see how that foot could become the coveter. Well, I need to be that. No, you don't. Because your foot, if you were stuck up here, it wouldn't look right. It couldn't do probably the things that it was to do. You know? So, again, just put it in perspective for you. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So you can see again the same example. Be content in whatsoever state you're in. Be content where God has placed us in the body. Godliness. Mother used to say this all the time. Son, godliness with contentment is great gain. Man, she drove that home. And it's so important. I think that brings the humility and the thankfulness in our life. As opposed to always walking around and being in despair and, oh, I wish or I would or I should or I could have. Just be thankful. Sure, you may have squandered time. God forbid, but we all have in some way, shape, or form. But be thankful for now. And run hard right now. Because you can win Him. He hasn't come yet. Did you know that? That means there's still time to get ready. And for those that think they got it done, there's still time to drop the crown that thou hast. Oh yeah. Not that we've apprehended in any by any means. All right. So if the whole body were an eye, in the 17th verse there, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? So again, you can just get all of these different visuals in your mind. And, you know, if I didn't have a nose, I just had an ear here and an ear here, I sure could hear well. But I sure would miss one of the great parts of life, being able to smell. I think they say it's one of the most wonderful things that brings memory to you is your smell, believe it or not. And a lot of times we don't recognize that, but have you ever just gotten a smell and it kind of just brings you right back to a time, you know? Hopefully it was a good smell, but a bad smell too. But, you know, you get right back there, just like that. All right, so I can't get bogged down. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Isn't that wonderful? See, He's pleased where you're at. He is. He's pleased at the place where He wants you. Okay? As we're in the will of God, He's pleased where we're at. And you think it's impossible to please God without faith, right? That's what the Word tells us. So we understand that we please Him when we have faith. And we please Him when we just take the place that He's asked us to take. And actually just take the place where he's placed you in the body. Because you're there anyways. So why not rest in it? Yeah. Praise God. A lot to glean from this about just contentment and thankfulness. 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? I told you about like all those kids when I went out to coach. Everybody wanted to be a quarterback. You know, you're not going to have much of a team. You know, you're not a quarterback. You're really slow and big. Probably put you on the line, you know. Keep running though, you know, who knows. But see, and everything is vital in that team. And we were talking about that and it's so wonderful. It's like everything is vital in this body. And the eye cannot say in the 21st verse, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Now here comes the boaster. So see, now you can see the other part or the other side of the body. Here was the one that was coveting. Now think of the brother and sister. Well, I don't have any need of that brother or sister. They shouldn't be here. Uh-oh. Don't want to go there. Nope. I'm going to sit on this side because so-and-so sits on that side. Now, maybe for a time until we have peace. No. But we don't want to have that kind of division, do we? Whatever it be, we want to be able to enter in by the grace of God. We don't want any divisions. I don't want to have any animosity. And it should bother you. And if you have it, I thank God that it bothers you. That you would come in and feel uncomfortable with somebody in the meeting. I hope it bothers you. Because by the grace of God, allow the Lord to work that. If it's compassion you need, if it's thankfulness you need, if it's humility you need, I don't know what the need is in that, but it's a need, that God bring it to you. But we need to recognize that we have a need. And that's why I kept telling us, come boldly, come boldly, come boldly to the throne of grace, because we all have those needs. All right. So it says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. There's perfect unity. You'll go into, and I'll give you a couple verses to read as well, too. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, and Colossians, even the second and the third chapter. I'll just throw all that there back again as we studied that. But that talks about the oneness in Christ and how that wonderful, glorious calling to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to have that oneness. There should be a need for us to want to come together. That's why the Word of God says, the much, the more, as you see that day approaching, we should want to come together. That's why it hurts my heart. It truly does. When I know that there's brothers and sisters that know of the truth in this town that don't come to the meeting for some reason or another. It hurts my heart. And I don't want to stand here and say, well, you just have to come here because we're the place that has the truth. No, that's not how I'm coming here. The much, the more as you see the day approaching. If you really love Him, you'll want to be around that wonderful body. And especially by the grace of God, some of the ones that may be in the body apart from the body that's going to meet Him in the air. Are you looking for that day? Oh, that day, in the air that day, the first trumpet that day. Oh, if we ever wake up to really what we have, oh my. All right, 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Look at that. Now, some here that might think, well, I'm a nothing in the body. Nobody really recognizes me too much in the church. I really don't have a lot of talents or things of that nature. Look what the Word of God tells you here. Maybe those members of the body which seem. There's two words in the 22nd and the 23rd that we need to get out of our minds because it's our minds. It's seem, and the next one we're going to read is think. That's human. God is, I know, and it's His will. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. There's a difference there. I hope you see it. See, there's a knowing in the Lord. You just know. And it's in His will, and His will is His word. Talked about that Sunday. So again, know this. The last shall be first. The meek shall inherit. Praise God. God sees that widow's mite. All right? But then on the other hand, if the Lord has set you or in a sense lifted you in a way that maybe is more magnified or seen, He didn't say not any mighty. He just said not many. Okay? So pray. He's got it covered. Isn't that wonderful? He's got it covered. So just trust Him. Live your life as the Lord is allowing you to live it. Don't let somebody tell you, in a sense, not being defiant, how you should be as a Christian. Absolutely not. The Word of God will work effectually in you as you believe it. And God, He puts up whom He will, down whom He will, and whatever. But look at what it says here. It says that seem to be more feeble are necessary. Then he goes on. This is how important these members that are more uncomely. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. And what he was talking about there was some of the uncomely parts were, especially back in the day, were the feet, because they, you know, they didn't have any car, you know. And a lot of people didn't have a horse. So they had to walk all the time. And can you imagine the feet? And some of these people that really had to go around, all the blisters and all the calluses, and they didn't look very pretty. So they had shoes, they had sandals, they covered them. All of the parts that were a little bit more uncomely, they really tended to. They took care of them feet, maybe, that weren't the best looking. They would tend to those things. I think about some of the things that I see on the TV sometimes. They're always magnifying the body part of yours that isn't right. So we're really going to work on that. You know, they have a tape for this part of the body and that part of the body, right? And you see, that's the one that's getting the most care. And this is really kind of the concept here, is that God truly is bestowing more abundant honor upon those less honorable parts. And it goes on to say, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Praise God. We need to condescend to men of low estate as well, too, I think of then that verse, too. For our comely parts, meaning our beautiful parts, the parts that are graceful, have no need. There's no need there. And I always appreciated, too, brothers and sisters, I think there's so many things to take from this. And I just hope we take this right, is that I remember there was at times with Brother Hill, I felt I didn't get enough time. I really wanted to visit with him more. And obviously he was my grandpa as well, too. And I appreciated that I had that drawing, I had that need. And all. And I remember one time, I just finally, I had to tell him. And I said, you know, Grandpa, I said, I just don't feel I get enough time with you. It makes me kind of sad. I know you love me, but I'd like to have more time. And he said, son, he said, I'd love to spend more time with you in a lot of ways. But he said, there's some that need more time than you. You think you can be with me on that? So sometimes, brothers and sisters, when we're wanting more time from one another, now I'm not saying when we're not giving of our time, I hope we are. I hope by the grace of God that as He allows us to counsel and to encourage and to love one another, that we take that, because it's a benefit to you. It really is. But sometimes when we don't feel that we get as much time, do trust the Lord. Do trust the Lord. Don't recoil back into thinking, well, nobody loves me and nobody cares for me. The body, truly, the ones that are in harmony, they care for you greatly. And then I ask each and every one of us, be in tune with the Lord. Pray that God put upon your heart those. That's why I just say, it's not like randomly going through the phone book and saying, oh, I'm going to call Brother so-and-so today. But as God puts people on your heart, let them know you're thinking of them. It's a wonderful thing. We need to. That's the reaching out in love. Sure, we want to reach out with the Word of God to everybody. Don't get me wrong. But how about really reaching out with the love of God within a meeting? It's quite a concept. Allow the Lord to work that. All right. Just some thoughts. Okay. Going on. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body. Oh, this is good. And so precious that God there in the 24th verse, he says, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. Isn't that wonderful? He's not a respecter of persons, so he's perfectly joined it. And now he says, the reason I did this, the reason that I've given more abundant honor on the parts that lacked, is because I'm no respecter of persons. It's going to be perfectly joined and fitted together. And that there should be no schisms in the body. There should be no divisions. And I had written here, cliques. There should be no cliques. Now, sure, we might enjoy somebody's personality. Absolutely. But don't let it divide us. Truly. We're one of another. Praise God. We're in that body. And we need to take care of that body and to be in harmony with God and His wonderful members that are part of His body. And it goes on to say that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the what? The same care one for another. Oh my. Love without dissimulation. That's without hypocrisy. That we love one another. That we care the same one for another. This is deep, isn't it? If you want to get deeply in love with the Lord, you better know Him. And you better know what He's calling you to. And I think of that as I think about this marriage thing. You know, if I didn't give a thought, I was thinking of a flip, if you want to call it that way, about my wife's family and her about my family, we would have a problem. We would. And there's been times, like two. Maybe three. No, I'm just kidding. That I have passed over that, quickly reminded by my sweet spouse in a very loving way. But this is what the Lord is encouraging us to remember one another. Do I realize that you are just so special to the Lord? That He gave His Son. He died for you. That He's absolutely crazy in love with you. And that's the one I'm in crazy in love with. So why shouldn't I be that with you? I'm talking on the highest level. We're not always going to agree, in a sense. But as long as it's not disagreeing about the truth, maybe some other silly matter, I think we best let it go. What do you think? Yep? Okay. All right. Lord willing, I think we're going to get through this chapter tonight. All right. So, the same care one for another. This is the interdependence that we have in Christ with one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Now, I think that's definitely going on here. Absolutely. I think it's wonderful what God's doing here. But you know what? That's the easy one. Now, when they're down a little bit, if we're even at all right with Christ, that's the one that I think is the easy one. And I think by the grace of God, He's bringing that. But here's the tougher one. Or when one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I've seen the jealousy sit in a little bit there. Maybe a little bit of covetousness, When one is exalted, when something happens that God does bless in that certain way, that's evident. Can we rejoice in that? What do you think? What about a liberty that my brother or sister has? Can I rejoice in that even if I don't have it? I hope so. Well, those are some things to think about. Okay. All right. Now. That's verse 27. Ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And I encourage you to go read Ephesians 5:30 there, very short verse, but it says we're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Praise God. That's how personal it is. That's what you are with Jesus. That's what we are with Him. All right, let's go on to verse 28. So now He said about the body, now we're back to the church, and God hath set some in the church. So He wants us to recognize this wonderful oneness that we have so that we don't get all out of sort and we understand this is God's plan, it's His body, He set us in that body exactly how He, in His divine wonderful knowledge, knows where I'm to be sitting and you're to be sitting in this body. Now He's going to talk about the church again. Because He's got to bring back the oneness. Because you could see how these people started looking at everybody else and trying to think, am I better than this? The disciples did it too. Who shall be first? Who shall be last? You know, it's always, no, stop. Just run the race. Pray that you finish. Pray that I finish. Praise God. Pray that we all finish with joy and are looking for that appearing. Praise God. All right. So, and God hath set, this means a permanent place, some in the church. Now we're back to this church concept. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after the miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, this has to do in relationship with the authority, the value, in a sense, of what's going on in the meeting. The sad thing I do want to point out about this is that there are many, and I will say probably the majority of writers, the majority of Christianity today, believes that there's no more apostles and there are no more prophets. Well, why don't we just keep going down the list? Let's say that there's no more teachers or miracles or gifts or healings or helps or governments. Do you see what happens? It just keeps going and going. And how about diversities of tongues? Well, there's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That was just for that day. He only had to just pour out that power at that time. They only needed it for that, you know. Because they needed to go out and speak in all of these different languages. You know, because they had to go witness to the world. That's what they say. But there was Brother Paul who said, I rejoice and I'm so thankful. I speak more than you all. Yet he already knew all those languages he needed to go to. So why did he need the tongues, do you think? He just needed the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Just like you need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Just like I need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Just like everybody needs the infilling of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to be led into all truth and truly if you're going to be ready. Potential to be ready. Potential to be ready to meet the Lord in the air. I think the dots are just so connected throughout the Word of God. It's perfect. That plan, that line upon line, precept upon precept. It doesn't contradict itself. It is absolutely fluid and perfect. And that's why he says, rightfully divide the word of truth. Isn't that wonderful that he has called us to do that? All right, let's talk about some of these things. We'll touch on them briefly. So God has set some in the church first apostles. Now, one of the arguments is they say, well, the 12 were the apostles, then there was Paul and Barnabas. Well, there's Epaphroditus. Then there were all of the other ones that they talk about there. I think it's, I think I wrote down the verse here. It was 1 Corinthians, maybe I didn't, but it's in 1 Corinthians, and I can't think of where it is. Actually, it's in 2 Corinthians. And I did write it down here at the bottom, 2 Corinthians 12:12. Not 12:12, 2 Corinthians 8:23 and Philippians 2:25 talks about other apostles besides just the 12 and Barnabas and Paul. Okay, so we know that there's more there. We also understand that an apostle means messenger. It means one that's sent out, but truly a messenger. And I think about how the Word of God tells me to follow Paul as he followed Christ. And I have to tell you, as I was sitting back in that office again today, I said, you know, Lord, I believe I'm just following that. Even on that road to Damascus, by the grace of God, the Lord keeps telling me, son, quit kicking against the pricks. Throughout your whole life, just stop this. I want to show you something. I want to give you the dispensation. It wasn't just given to Paul. You understand, Paul was the one that the vessel that was poured out that was to give to all of us. But it's still the Holy Spirit that's got to reveal this. It wasn't Paul that's revealing this to me. It's the Holy Spirit that's revealing this to me. And by the grace of God, he gave that brother a stewardship to make known this wonderful mystery of God. Well, you know what? I believe by the grace of God, not in some fantasy, I have a stewardship to make known the mystery of God. And I am following my wonderful Lord as Paul followed him. And by the grace of God, I want to have that faith. I believe all of us, by the grace of God, are running in that regard. Where's he going with this? Well, as far as the Lord will take it, and that's beyond my mind and yours too. But you know what? He hasn't stopped. He's just continuing to increase and increase and increase. Praise God, and I hope he just continues to increase in me. So this thought again, brothers and sisters, that the apostles were just for that age. No. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12:12 for a moment. It's a sweet verse. Tells you what an apostle's all about here. Then you can think on your own about this. 12:12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience. Oh, they kept the word of his patience. They run with patience. Where do you find all that in the Word of God, huh? I hope that's part of the quality that you see in yourself in the Lord. Huh? How about in signs? The Lord ever used you mightily? I believe He has. I just believe a lot of times that we get a little bit under that enemy and don't realize how wonderful God has used us and is using us. And wonders and mighty deeds. And brothers and sisters, I still think the mightiest deed that you could ever do is to win Christ. Greatest act of faith that you could ever have is truly to go fully after the Lord. So don't ever diminish what God is doing in your life. As Brother Paul said, not unto me only, but unto them also that love His appearing. Okay? I don't doubt God's faithfulness. I don't doubt God's power. I don't doubt God's love. People say, well, do you think you're as great as so-and-so? No, I don't. But I don't doubt what God can do in my life. How about you? And I mean that. He said into the very image, praise God. Amen. The only thing that puts the brakes on it is you. Praise the Lord. All right. Secondarily, prophets. There's divine messages, the purpose of God. Well, I believe there's a divine message and the purpose of God and so many wonderful mouths that the Lord is using today. I praise the Lord for it. I think that speaks enough to it. Thirdly, teachers. Wonderful, bringing out the Word of God. Bringing out the wonderful thoughts and instruction. So sweetly. Well, you can agree to that, but you can't agree to the first two. I think shame. All right, after that, miracles. We saw that the miracles were just confirming the powers that confirm the Word of God. Then gifts of healing. Praise the Lord. We're praying for that sweet gift for Brother Ron. I believe in so many others here as well, too. I believe that God is able. And I tend to have some thoughts to myself at this time. And we're just going to leave Him there. But He's really able. He is. So I praise the Lord that I by His grace, know Him like that. All right. Helps. That word helps means support. Those that support the truth. Isn't that wonderful? Hold up in prayer. Do you hold up in prayer this meeting? Huh? I hope all of you do. That's a gift. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And that's a wonderful setting in the church that God has given you. That wonderful gift. And sure, that has to do with faith. Absolutely. It all has to do with faith. Governments. That's the wise counsel. Diversities of tongues. We've talked about that too. Again, for the church, talking about the gift of tongues, again, separate from the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which is the evidence of tongues. Really want to drive this home. Want to make sure we understand this again. And we'll have all of chapter 14, if the Lord tarry. We'll really hit this one. But again, the gift of tongues is for the church and requires an interpreter. All right? Because it's to be understood and shared and edifying to the body. All right? Whereas the wonderful speaking in tongues, which is evidence of the gift of the Holy Spirit coming into a life, is edifying to the self. But it's still spiritual growth. Isn't that wonderful? And Brother Paul said, forbid ye not to speak in tongues. Right? And he said, I'm thankful. I'm glad I speak more than you all. Okay? And let's connect that one back to follow me as I follow Christ. I appreciate Brother Copley encouraging me about his pudding today. Yes. And he said, I'm still feasting on it and I'm still speaking in the new tongue. I think he wrote that and he's pretty close to being with Jesus at that time too. So how many years was he enjoying that sweet fellowship? Oh, mark them, follow them, praise God. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? No, 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 no. Have all gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. All right? It's given as He sees fit. It's given where He wants it to be given. Praise God. It says to pray for these gifts. Want them. Covet them. Absolutely. But look what He's saying here next. This is what's so precious, brothers and sisters. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, God willing, we're going to begin the 13th chapter. And it says very clearly there, in the second verse, I'll just jump down there. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could move mountains, have I not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. It's all about love. It's got to encapsulate every bit of it, or it's profitless. You'll read there in Ephesians, and it's so precious. Paul, as he, in that third chapter, says, I've got this dispensation. God has given me the vision of this mystery that he wants me to tell you about. And as he defines that mystery throughout that chapter and at the very end, that I may know him. That I may know. And what does he specifically say that he'd know? The dimensions of the love of God. The height, the depth, the breadth, the width, the length, whatever you want to say there. It's every single bit of it. That's what it's about. It's all about love. That's the thing that we need to covet more than anything. You see how we can get off in all of these gifts and all of these different things? The knowledge of him is the knowledge of his love. And when we understand that love, when we really fall in love and understand it is poured out. It was poured out. There's no more pouring out than there could be. It's there for us to have. That's when we'll grow up. Drink. Isn't that what he said? Given to drink. It's Brother Ray. I was thinking about you, brother. I walked into this place, and it was like drinking from a fire hydrant. Praise be to God. All right, let's bow our heads. Thank you, dear God, again for bringing us together this evening. We thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that it does just excite us and lift us up in you. Lord, that just truly gives us purpose. I hope that, again, the Spirit of the Lord would just so overwhelm us this evening as we go home, knowing how you love us, knowing what you've called us into, knowing how important. These are the words of God. These are the words of life, and they're given to each and every one of us individually. Now, Lord, speak these things. Let us live these things. And, Lord, I do pray that we would meditate on this week and that this wouldn't be the only time that we have a Bible study. That, God, you would, again, just in your love, sit us down that we would want and covet that fellowship with you at home in the Word. And, Lord, this isn't something that comes from the mind. It's spiritually discerned. Sure, the Word of God says we do need these teachers. And praise God that we have different men and women of the Lord that really do give out the Word of God. But Lord, we know that you're mighty and your Word never returns void. And we ask that as we go home that you would just again share with us and continue to sup with us. And we sup with you, Lord God, that again your wonderful Spirit would just anoint us with the wonderful love of your Son Jesus. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.